This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey, friends, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I am Laura, and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hello, hello.
And today we're talking about personality tests, which is such a fun topic. We got super into these about a year ago where we took one of those free online Enneagram tests, and we were like texting memes to one another and saying, that's just like a three or whatever. And so it was really fun for our team, and we had a really good time kind of taking these tests.
Yeah. And actually this fall, last fall, 2018, on our Ask Us Anything show, that was our most frequently asked question was, what is your Enneagram number? I'm going to call it a score. It's not a score. So we know that it's something that has a lot of interest right now in the culture. It's very cool to say, hey, what Enneagram number are you? But this has been around for a long time. I mean, It's not a new thing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I remember when I was young, like doing the love languages and spiritual gifts test.
Oh, yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. I remember thinking like, oh, I have this certain love language. And it at times it's even caused some conflict in our marriage. Mm. I'm like, no, this is the way I have to be loved. Yep. And I can't receive love in any other way. And it's like, that's not true. Mm-hmm. I enjoy a lot of different ways of being loved. But you can just kind of really hone in on that one thing.
You can. It's amazing how we latch to it, which is sort of what we want to talk about in today's show. We've kind of got two big old questions we want to ask and try to answer. One is, hey, why do we all love these personality tests so much? And then the second is, what role can and should personality tests play in our motherhood and who we are as a person?
So why do we all love personality tests so much? I mean, why do we take the 10 minutes and we click through the 4 websites with 100 pop-ups to find out what Disney princess we are?
I know. I want to know. I have to know like what my emojis say about me.
Yeah. And I think that question of like, why does it feel good to find out our strengths and our giftings as if we're special and now we are able to display them even more.
Yeah, we'll share them on Facebook and put them on Instagram and tell everybody.
Yes. And then I think it's interesting, too, that we long to know other people's personalities. Okay, what box do you fit into?
Right, we want to categorize people.
Yeah, and like, how do we get our puzzle pieces fit together really well so that our boxes can join together? Isn't that the next thing you do, right? You get your Enneagram, and then you're like, wait, what's my husband? What's his number? And then how do those interplay together?
And what are the wings doing? And how do we be healthy together? Totally, totally, totally.
Uh-huh.
So to understand this, we can obviously go back to the creation account. And we kind of pulled out a couple of principles from there. Is one thing that we see really obviously in the creation account is that we really long to know ourselves and we long to be known. And we always think things like, hey, if they could only understand me, even my sinful tendencies, they would just love me more. We kind of equate being known with being loved.
Yeah. Our kids for the Christmas program this year did this song called My Holy, Holy Hole. You've heard it. They go, My Holy, Holy, Holy Hole. So we all have a holy hole in our heart.
Okay.
That can only be filled by Jesus.
Aww.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is we are all created.
I'm just dying laughing.
We're not crying. Okay, the point was that we know that the best way to be known is be known by our creator. I think there is that deep, you know, the holy hole in all of our hearts that Adam and Eve enjoyed with God, that they were naked, they were unashamed, they didn't have any baggage that they were carrying around, anything they were hiding. They were known by God himself and enjoyed that relationship with him. And so we long for that. On the other side of the fall, where we experience that separation from God and we need Christ to come allow us to have that relationship with him again. Now the reality is like we can only pursue knowledge of ourselves and who we are and who we are created to be. That's only satisfied in the word of God and getting to know him and doing all these things we talk about every week on Risen Motherhood. But sometimes the way personality tests fit into this is they can take us down this path and this pursuit that feels like kind of like a Band-Aid, or it gives you just a little bit of a nugget of truth that you start to pull on that string. But what you realize is it's never ending. It never really goes anywhere satisfying. But it does kind of start us to think, oh, this is going to give me a greater grasp on who I am and my purpose in the world and how I fit into the whole universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally right. And the other piece that we see is that we long for the power that this little piece of mm-hmm. the personality test brings. You know,
I can now manipulate my personality and exactly. get everybody around me, you know, doing what I need.
Yeah. And that's why we're like, I'm going to advertise this everywhere. I'm going to push it out on social media. And then everyone's going to know how to interact with me and why I sin and what I do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we see it like this is nothing new. Eve did this when she took a bite of the fruit. She wanted knowledge. She walked with the source of all knowledge. She could have asked God absolutely anything. But she wanted to be in control. She wanted to have the power and to be able to wield it to kind of her own whims. And so I think that we do the same thing that Eve has done when we believe that, hey, if I know my personality test and I understand how I work, what makes me tick, because personality tests do, in fact, they're often kind of accurate, you know,
yeah.
and they do reveal strengths and weaknesses. And they sort of have this promise that if we just can balance them correctly and figure out how to be the healthy version of whatever it is, then, hey, we're going to be kind of that, the captain of our soul, the master of our mm-hmm. fate, that Invictus stuff is what they're promising. And so since the garden, we've kind of longed to be God, but only he is fully sovereign. But personality tests kind of make us feel a little bit godly.
Yeah, even in the context of our relationships, I mean, all of us experience brokenness in our relationships, whether that's a conflict we have over and over again with our husband or with our parent or with our coworker or with our child. And we feel like, oh, if I can just figure that out, then the sin in this relationship will be gone. The pain in this relationship will be gone. And so we kind of equate personality test with savior.
Mm-hmm.
But it just can't do that. It will never heal. It will never be perfect. But we are so tempted to think that it will.
Yeah. So that's sort of why we all love personality tests so much. Mm-hmm. So now we want to move to that second question of, hey, what role do these play? Because we are not against self-knowledge, Emily and I, or even God's word. In fact, it encourages us to grow in self-knowledge, but to also grow in our knowledge of God. And those things go in tandem. So we're going to talk through that a little bit here, but there's this element of, oh, it almost feels like a relief, you know, when you find out your Enneagram number, you're like, that's me. Somebody knows me. And, you know, we are tempted when we make decisions to sort of add our personality test to the mix. Hey, should we be doing that? Is that something that should happen? Or should we be spending hours and hours with our husband and our friends and our family talking mm-hmm. about our personality typology? So these are some of these questions that, is this really the role that personality mm-hmm. tests are supposed to play?
Yeah, so I think in motherhood specifically, we have to remember our personality isn't ultimately what defines us. And I know for me, it's easy to take a typology or whatever I heard on this personality test and then push that into motherhood and explain away something that is hard for me to do or something that God may totally. Be calling me to do. Some common ones just might be like, you know, I'm an introvert and like, I just can't deal with hosting people at my house and being hospitable. So I'm just not going to do that. That's just not my personality. Or you know what? Like I'm an Enneagram 1. And so I get upset when people don't live up to my high standards. And that is just the way I am. And people need to deal with it. I need things to be my way or else that's just how God made me.
Ouch. Emmy, I am an Enneagram 1. Did you remember that?
I don't know, but God put like 7 ones in my life around me. So.
You need us bossy ones.
I need you. That was an exaggeration.
Yeah, I was like, I think she's heard that from me maybe before.
No, I'll do in for me. I know. I get really wrapped up about feeling like, you know, I'm just kind of like scattered and disorganized. I'm just not real self-disciplined. So, you know, of course I can't figure out how to plan meals. Of course I can't figure out how to organize our schedule, get everything under control. That's just the way I am.
So as we said, your personality isn't what defines you. So there is value in understanding ourselves, but that knowledge of yourself should not confine you to the certain box or a decision or even an action. So as believers, we are actually only ultimately defined by Christ's atoning work on the cross. So I think that's where we have to see, just like the examples Emily was giving, your type isn't this excuse for a behavior, a sinful behavior. Mm-hmm. It's real dangerous territory when we start to do this. And we kind of are basically saying, well, I can be anybody I want. Like, it doesn't matter who God says that I should be. Like, this is who I am. But you know what? God says, be holy as I am holy. That leaves no room for sin.
Yeah. And we have to compare everything against the Word of God. This provides everything that we need for life and godliness. And we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, if we are trusting in Christ. So yeah, our type or our personality or whatever our test results gave us say one thing, but what does God's Word say? And even being weak, I think that plays into this conversation a lot, is mm-hmm. where personality tests tend to point out where we're strong or where we're special and where you're weak. It's like, oh, just don't worry about that, or you just balance it out. But really, weakness is right where God wants us, yeah. is a humble posture of, Lord, I need you. And so it's not something to manipulate. It's something to take to the Lord. And then he can work and show his strength and show the ability to transform us into the image of his son as we continue to walk with him. That's grace. And we want that in our lives. And so if we're clinging so tightly to our personality that we can't ever be weak and come to God and say, God, will you help me here? We're totally missing out on like one of the essential things about Christianity and having a relationship with God.
Mm, amen. That is so true. I think that a lot of us are asking, well, how am I living up to being that Myers-Briggs letters that I don't even know my letters, but I know there's a bunch of them, you know, or how am I living up to being that healthy Enneagram number? But our question really should be, how am I growing in holiness? How am I growing mm-hmm. in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, into Christ-likeness? Mm-hmm. And just like Emily's saying, that knowledge of self shouldn't lead us to pride or a desire to become that best version of our personality test, but it should lead us on our knees to Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's just huge in all of this.
Right. And I think we said this earlier, but it's worth saying again that we actually are designed to only really understand ourselves in light of God and who mm-hmm. he is and the way he has chosen to define us. And, so I think that that's really tempting to like go, okay, I can understand myself more if I go down a path that actually has nothing to do with God, but we actually experience that greater fulfillment the more we are in relationship with God, the more that we know his character, the better we truly understand ourselves. And it's funny because we just want to disconnect it, but it just cannot be disconnected.
Mm-hmm. So now we want to look at the second principle, how our personality isn't our destiny. We just talked a little bit about how our personality is not our definition. It doesn't define who we are, and that we have to be very careful that we're looking at who we are in Christ. And with this piece, I think like this is looking at tomorrow and the next day as we grow and change, and ultimately, where are we headed as we make our decisions in motherhood? And as we live out and as mothers, we have to remember that we can in fact change. So just because you tested like something on some personality test does not mean that that is who you are and you are stuck in that forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we can think of like, I think Isaiah 64:8 talks about how God is the potter and we are the clay and he molds us and shapes us like according to his purposes. So he's really the one who is formulating and who we're submitting to as he formulates who we are going to become. So Laura had like a good example about this I wanted her to share.
Yeah. So growing up, my dad was actually a ceramics artist and professor. And so in the back of our house, we had a ceramic studio, which was really pretty cool. And I remember going out there as a little girl and he would be throwing pots and working with the clay and adding the glaze and doing all of those things. And he taught me how to do it as a little girl. At least he tried to teach me. I remember watching him and it was just so amazing to watch his hands as he took this unsightly lump of clay and really molded and shaped it into something really beautiful and really useful. And I would get on the wheel and kind of try, and he'd be behind me, of course, trying to help me. But ultimately, like when I did it, I put the pressure in all the wrong places. I didn't use the right amount of water. I, you know, like the whole thing would just start shaking and quaking, and then it like slide right off the potter's wheel. And I never got good. I kind of regret that actually, of never really learning how to throw a pot well. But it was just amazing to see him work with that clay. And I think that it plays really well into this is that often we're trying to take our own personalities into our hands, mm-hmm. and we believe that, like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, become the ultimate version of my Myers-Briggs or my Sandlot character or whatever it is that we tested for. And often we're just like me behind the potter's wheel. You know, we don't know what we're doing. We're just sort of on a path for destruction. You know, we might start to take some shape, but it doesn't ever last. And it doesn't allow us to reach our full potential of what we truly could be. And God's plans for us are higher than we could ever imagine. They're too wonderful for us to attain. But the potter, like my dad, the expert, when he got behind that, he was so skilled, and God knows the exact amount of pressure that we need in our life, and he knows where to put it. And as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of ourselves, we have to start to trust God to do that work and for him to ultimately mm-hmm. be the potter, to press and release and form us in the way that he desires us to become and to grow, holy as he is holy, loving of our neighbors, being a disciple, growing in wisdom and mercy and goodness and all of those things. And so I think we just have to, like, remember who's in charge, and ultimately knowing that, like, we're not very good at it, you know, when we start taking it into our own hands.
Yeah. And I love that example and the word you're using of pressure, mm-hmm. because that's what it can feel like whenever God is conforming us to the image of Christ. And these are all of those experiences that come up in motherhood every day, the circumstances that feel like God is applying pressure to our lives as things don't fit our personality the way that we think that they should. Hey, I don't feel like I have the personality to do X, Y, and Z, or I'm not a mom that does whatever this thing is over here. And so I'm just not going to go that route. But God is actually applying pressure to us and saying, nope, this is uncomfortable to you. Mm-hmm. This actually may hurt. This actually might make you cry and come to your knees. But this is what I'm using to conform you to Christ-likeness, your trials, the things where you don't feel like you're doing a good enough job or whatever. And so that's where we shouldn't just disregard the thing that's not our personality,
right,
and throw it out the window in motherhood, because these are the moments that God is often using to draw us to himself.
Yeah. So that kind of means, like, be willing to take some risks and jump out of your personality box, mm-hmm. and trust that, like, God has great plans for you. And if you feel him bringing things into your life that feel uncomfortable and you want to say, nope, I'm not going to do it because that's not who I am, just remember that you can always change and you can grow. And ultimately, God is much more concerned about how you make the decision and the process of pruning you in that decision rather than actually the decision that you make. And so I think, you know, thinking through this whole show, we just want to remind you that there is a lot of value in being known, and it is okay to want to grow in your own understanding of yourself. And so we do think there are really good things for personality tests. I know we're kind of ripping on them here a little bit towards the end, but we do believe that they can be really, really helpful too.
Yeah. One thing in particular is that sometimes as we are wanting to look at our heart attitudes, examine what it is that we worship, maybe common areas of habitual sin where we are not loving others, where we're not worshiping God, sometimes the personality test can help us see patterns and reveal things that we're wrapped around too much that motivate us, where God should be motivating us. So they're not an end in and of themselves, but they could be one of many tools used. Most importantly, we use the word of God, but certainly, like, yeah, I've learned from personality.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I need to be careful because my tendency is to do that. What does that mean about my heart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anything, I think they've been really helpful for revealing sin and areas of need for repentance. So I think that that's really helpful, and it also can help express, like, in communication, maybe in your marriage or with other people, personality tests can be really, really beneficial to help other people maybe put into words what you've yes. known about yourself, but you don't know how to articulate. And yes. same for vice versa. Like, you see that in your husband, you're like, I don't really understand that. And then somebody mm-hmm. has written it down and shown you. So there are a lot of positive benefits mm-hmm. to them for sure.
Yeah. We've really seen that even in Laura and I's working relationship yeah. and in our own marriages, of having words for something can help you realize, like, actually, this isn't sin. This is just person. They think differently from me.
Yeah.
They were created differently than me. They like to do different things than I like to do. And so they're not trying to hurt me. They're not out to get me. They just are different. And
yeah.
oh, now I can approach them with this, like, greater mm-hmm. degree of, like, love and understanding. And so I think it can just also remind us, like, God created everyone differently. So mm-hmm. praise him. And yep. I can calm down a little bit now.
Yeah. And then I think there are areas where personality tests sort of go wrong. You're like, eh, that's not me. That doesn't sound like me. And I think that reminds us, too, that the only one who can fully know us is God. And that there isn't anyone else out there that can fully know every area and part of you intimately, but God does. And what great hope that is, that there is someone out there who knows every facet of our being even better than we know ourselves. And so that's just, you know, an area that we can choose to worship God in all of this, but we can see that and worship him. So
yeah, and we just wanted to bring this up even in the context of motherhood, because we think it is this thing that impacts us on a daily basis, is the way that we think and the things that we value. So if you want to find out more, definitely visit our website, risenmotherhood.com, and follow us on social media at Risen Motherhood, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.